Video number two, recognize biological hunger. And in this video, we're going to dive into principle number two, honor your hunger. Our need for food energy is so essential and primal that if we are not getting enough energy, our bodies naturally compensate with powerful biological and psychological mechanisms. So the thought that we can outsmart our bodies and our minds, it's just not going to happen. Okay, so let's just talk about the basics of hunger. And sometimes we think that hunger is a desire to eat, but it's a biological drive to eat. It's like we need to fuel our body. So it's that biological drive. It's not some nuisance that needs to be ignored. And hunger cues are just like any other bodily cue. It's just like saying, I need to go to sleep. I need to go to the bathroom. My heart rate fills up. But it's something that we tend to overlook. It's not a bodily cue that we give, you know, the importance of other bodily cues. We go, you can't wait if you have to go to the bathroom. You may have to for a very short period of time, but there's going to be a point where you're like, oh, that's not going to work anymore. The same should be true for our hunger cues. It's just saying, okay, I'm hungry. I'm at that point. Let's see what I can do about this. Because again, we have this primal drive to eat. And if we allow ourselves to go past the point of normal hunger, it can just trigger eating in excess, just being ravenous. And it's hard to be cognizant of the appropriate amount of food if we eat when we're overly hungry. And that just happens sometimes because of life, stress, situations, we're at work and we can't eat when we start to feel ravenous. And it's just this cycle that we can get into. Okay, so let's jump in to a little bit of research. And this research was done on a study of rats, so it wasn't done on humans, but a side note, and I never looked into this before, but I thought, you know what, I want to know if a study on rats is going to be as applicable as a study on humans. So I did the research, you don't have to, but it's actually rats, very interestingly, have very similar behaviors as humans and characteristics that closely resemble those of humans. So they're actually a good test group. So kind of interesting, thought I would pass that along. So in this study, they had two groups. One group of rats was deprived of food for up to 4 days. One was on a normal diet. And then both the groups were given a rat buffet of their favorite foods. That's what the article that broke down, and this was actually the research article, a rat buffet of favorite foods. So the author wrote this and it just kind of made me laugh. So things that were not their normal diet that they would have been given in this research lab, it would have been their favorite foods. I really wish it would have said what their favorite foods was. I was very interested in that. But just whatever the rats would really go, oh my goodness, this is so much better than the normal, you know, rat pellet food that I'm being given. So the deprivation group overate and gained more weight. So the group of rats that were deprived of food for up to 4 days gained more weight. And the longer the deprivation lasted, the more weight gain and more overeating occurred. So they were deprived for up to 4 days. So if a rat was only deprived for 2 days, they didn't have the severity of overeating or weight gain than the rats that were deprived for up to 4 days. I just thought that was a really interesting piece of research. And since rats apparently have similar behavioral characteristics of humans, that can be translated into intuitive eating and how the psychology works for humans as well. Okay, taking us back to introductory psych from our college days, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you look at the very bottom of this triangle, our basic needs are our physiological needs: food, water, warmth, and rest. And if we remember from our psychology class in college or maybe high school, if those needs aren't met, then we aren't able to move up the ladder, move up the chain. So we will risk our safety and security to ensure that we have food, water, warmth, and rest. So again, it's a very biological, very primal, very human urge to feed ourselves. So the hunger drive. Nerve cells for appetite, they're located in the hypothalamus region of the brain, and a variety of biological signals will trigger us to eat. So what many people believe to be an issue of willpower is instead just a biological, primal human need to eat. And the power and intensity of the biological eating drive, it should not be underestimated. And through a complex system of chemical and neural feedback, the brain, it monitors the energy needs of all of our body systems from moment to moment. And it makes very emphatic chemical directives as what we should eat. So fasting, restricting is particularly counterproductive to appetite. It simply turns on the neurochemical switches that induce us to eat. And I said before, we're trying to outsmart our bodies. We're trying to second guess biology. So in spite of all of the complex and elegant biological systems that help ensure that our body is getting enough energy, all too often, those who are chronically restricting either calories or just certain foods, they're trying to outthink and outsmart their own biology. And we have to see if our patients are eating based on the rules of restriction or hunger, or also if they are not listening to their hunger and maybe not restricting for a particular reason for weight loss or trying to maintain some perfect health or achieve some perfect health, but they're just doing it because they just go too long without eating. And there's a lot of people that do that. But when you eat based on these rules, you're going to get to the point where you're like, I'm hungry and the rules say that I can't eat. So what am I going to do? So that's a big question and a big thing that we are going to help our clients work through. And when we go too long without eating, when we do this long enough, when we kind of will ourselves to, you know, second guess and outsmart our biology, we can do it for a time, but eventually it's going to backfire. The restriction, as we know, will turn into, you know, possibly an intensified eating or binge eating, but we're just masking our cues for hunger and for satiety. And we're just eating on autopilot, which just means that we are eating to an uncomfortable amount, or we're just never really feeling hungry. So we've kind of like messed with our biology and we're like, okay, what do I do now? And that's where we are going to help people get back in touch with their bodies. And also they're silencing hunger. And we talked about this in the previous video just a little bit, but people may try to numb their hunger by filling up on calorie-free beverages, you know, drinking like excessive amounts of water just for the purposes of keeping their stomach full and not for the purposes of like, I need to hydrate. And they're just tuning out the signals however they can think of. They're chewing gum, they're drinking the calorie-free beverages, they are like trying to do it via willpower. And if we remember from module one, from the research and science on intuitive eating, the radish and cookie study, is that we can do this for a time. We have so much ability for, you know, being able to will ourselves, but it is exhaustible and it can be exhausting. So eventually we can only tune out these signals. We can only tune out our hunger, our primal need to eat for so long. So maybe we lose that natural hunger and satiety like wave, you know, you get hungry, you eat, you feel satiated, and then you kind of move on. And like, that's the way it's supposed to be. So we may tune out those signals and it's just really backwards or we're not feeling it, but we're still going to eat. We've just lost those signals. So we're not really doing it in the best way possible. And another way to silence hunger, and this can be intentional or unintentional, is chaos. Typically it's unintentional. And it's not planned, but if you live a very chaotic life, then that can quell your hunger cues because you were just too busy putting out fires in your life. So intentional is like sometimes you've created the fires. So we know these people who love the chaos, who know there's chaos and really couldn't see their life any other way. And sometimes it's unintentional. There's just chaos in our day and we're just like, oh my gosh, you know, if I had 5 minutes to sit and eat, but we don't. And when we do eat, we're like, okay, what's going to be the thing that's going to help me just zone out for 2 seconds? And a lot of times that's the choice that is being made if you live in a chaotic type of environment or you're just having a chaotic day or couple of weeks. Another thing people do to silence their hunger is they skip breakfast, because when you skip breakfast, it can make you feel less hungry through the day. So if you're not starting your day getting, like I said, that natural rhythm of hunger, eating, satiety, repeat through the day, if you're skipping breakfast and just foregoing that step, that is something that people will do so that they don't feel hungry throughout the day. Okay, so our steps to recognize biological hunger. So our goal is to get people to honor their hunger. Principle number two, honor your hunger. So to do that, we have to teach them to recondition and refine those biological hunger cues. And they have to understand that no food is completely off limits and that they do have continual access to foods. And we'll get into this in the video on permission to eat, is that you can have continual access to foods, even those foods that may have been on the no list or the bad list or the restriction list in the past. So the steps to recognize biological hunger, step one is to listen, inquire, and track. So listening for those symptoms of hunger, stomach gurgling, headache, lightheadedness, decreased concentration, faintness. So we're listening, but we're also feeling. Now faintness, headaches, lack of concentration, that's typically when you've gone past the point of hunger. But maybe if someone has really quelled their urges long enough, they don't feel that stomach gurgling. It's not something that registers for them. And for people, it's individual. Maybe that's just not something that is a symptom of hunger for them. They only know they're hungry once they have a headache. But typically, we're not feeling those gentle signs of hunger if we have just ignored them for too long. So inquiring, asking, am I hungry? If I am hungry, at what level am I hungry? Am I just a little bit hungry? Am I starving? Where am I at? And how long has it been since I have last eaten? Now, when you ask yourself these questions, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to eat. It just means that you are inquiring, like, okay, where am I at right now? And then seeing what choice you make from the questions that you ask. So again, this isn't a new set of rules. It's really about, again, getting to know your body. And then tracking. And this is where journaling, your feelings, emotions, the progress that you've made, and the content of what you're eating, not so much like I've had a half a cup of oatmeal and this is what I'm eating, but just kind of writing down just for the purposes of seeing, like, how satiated were you after this meal? Is this something that in the future that you should know about to say, okay, well, I ate this and I just wasn't full for very long after that. So we talked about tossing out the tools of restriction, and calorie counting and apps was in that mix. And definitely food journaling is something that can be a diet tool, absolutely, 100%. But for intuitive eating, it's important to track the other things, because we're asking our clients to do something different than what they're used to. We're asking them to really pay attention and really listen, and we want them to be able to look back and track their progress. Think about the things that they're feeling in that moment. What emotions are happening when they eat? What emotions are they experiencing once they start rejecting the diet mentality? So journaling is a really important part of the process. And it's not journaling for the fact of, like, saying, okay, I had this much food and this is how I felt. It's just saying, like, this is what I ate. I had a cookie and this was the emotions that I had around it. Once they're given permission to eat that cookie, maybe that they've not had in a while, like, what were their feelings? How did they react? Did the fear of, like, I'm not going to be able to stop kick in? And step two is recognizing non-biological hunger. So one part of non-biological hunger is practical hunger. And intuitive eating isn't saying that you can't eat if you're not hungry. It's recognizing that there will be times in your life where you have to eat when you're not hungry. It's just what you're doing the majority of the time. So practical hunger is thinking, okay, I have a meeting from noon until 2. And I know around 12:30, I'm going to be really hungry. That's when the hunger is going to start to set in. But I'll be in the middle of a meeting and it's like 11:15 and I'm not particularly hungry. And if I eat, I'm not, you know, it's not really the time to eat because I'm not feeling hungry. but if I don't, then I'm going to be starving after the meeting. So what do you do? So that is practical hunger, just going, I'm not hungry yet, but when it's time for me to be hungry, I'm not going to have access to food. So having to make that choice, and it's like, what choices do you make there? Do you have, you know, a smaller snack, something that's smaller portion just to kind of get you through the meeting, and then you have food afterwards? So that's practical hunger. It's like realizing that there'll be times in your life where you have to eat when you're not particularly hungry based on the circumstance. And also taste hunger. Maybe you just simply want a food because it just sounds good. And unfortunately, we are over inundated with marketing that reminds us all of the time of the foods we want to eat. And we drive by restaurants that just smell delicious. We are constantly being bombarded with those messages. So we do have to evaluate, like, why do I want this food? Did I just see a commercial and that's why I'm really craving that food? Or am I really just wanting this particular food because that just really sounds good and it's something that would really satisfy my taste buds? And also emotional hunger. And we have an entire video on emotional eating, but it's a non-biological hunger. Are we eating out of emotion, stress, boredom, sadness? You know, those are kind of negative, but also happiness or celebration or nostalgia. So there's different emotions that we can be eating for. So people think emotional eating is largely negative, but it's not. We could be eating for emotional reasons that are also positive, and just evaluating that and saying, like, okay, am I eating because I'm happy and this is a celebration, or for some type of nostalgic reason, or maybe I'm stressed. And again, maybe you're having a stressed out day and you really think you want a cookie. Intuitive eating doesn't say, well, that's not practical, don't eat the cookie. It's saying, like, just evaluate where you're at and make that choice. Okay. So when we are evaluating our hunger, some of the questions that we can ask ourselves, how hungry are you? So this is being a food anthropologist, this non-judgmental looking at our hunger versus a negative or non-self-compassionate look at hunger. So just kind of like asking your question, but just giving a very, you know, realistic response. So how hungry are you? And maybe you want to do this on a scale of 1 to 10, how hungry are you? What physical sensations do you feel? What emotions are you feeling? How long has it been since your last meal? At that last meal, what did you eat? So some people think, I just ate an hour and a half ago, I just ate 2 hours ago, I should not be hungry. But maybe they had, you know, a very carbohydrate heavy meal and not a lot of protein, not a lot of fiber, and it's just not filling them up. So this really is also the foundation for honoring our health and honoring our nutrition that we're going to get to with our patients and our clients. So it's like, if they can start to recognize, when I eat these certain foods, I just don't feel satiated. I don't, you know, it doesn't keep me full very long. And honestly, after I eat it, I just don't feel very good. And that's when they're going to start to evaluate, okay, what are the foods that my body needs? And then ask yourself, when you do eat, why did I eat this? And then track the observations, going back to that journaling and just kind of writing down the observations, just like you were a scientist. Okay, some notes about hunger. Hunger is individualized. It differs from person to person, and it differs from day to day. Everyone is different and every day is different. So there's no one set idea or parameter that says, this is when you feel hungry, these are the cues. This is how they are getting back in touch with their body. Maybe you find that they experience hunger in a very different way than other people, because again, it differs from person to person and it differs from day to day. Okay, up next, video 3, permission to eat. This is where we're going to dive into principle 3 of allowing ourselves and allowing our clients to have those foods that maybe have been off limits for a while, and helping them through that process, because it can be a very fearful one for them.